Okay, so tonight's shiur, we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of inyanim that really all boil down to one major theme on Yom Kippur, and that is, how similar or different are we from Malachim on Yom Kippur? How much are we really considered like Malachim, and how much do we consider ourselves different? And we'll explain as we go along what this is all about. So first of all, one of the most prominent minhagim that we all are familiar with the fact that we are considered like Malachim on Yom Kippur, one of the most famous ones is the fact that we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vod out loud on Yom Kippur. So what is this all about, and why do we do it? So says the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun Vav Amid Aleph. Let's begin like that. That is number Aleph on the source sheet. Amar Reb Shimon Lakish, Reish Lakish tells us as follows, Vayikra Yaakov Albanov, Yaakov Avinu calls his children to come to him and get brachas at the end of his life. He wants to give him a little bit of a Musar Shmuz, Vayomer, and he tells them, Hey Osvu Vagida Lachem, Esa Shir Yikra Eschem, Achris Hayam. Says the Gemara, Bikish Yaakov Legalos Leban of Ketz Hayam. Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell his children what was going to happen in the times of Bias HaMashiach, and he wanted to tell them when that was going to be. All of a sudden, when he's about to give them the secret, the Shechina leaves him, and he no longer has the ability to share this secret with his children. Amar, so Yaakov Avinu is concerned, why is the Shechina all of a sudden leaving me? Why can't I think anymore with the Shechina's presence? Shema chas v'shalom yesh b'mitasi psul ka'avram sheyatzi mimenu yishmal v'abi yitzchak sheyatzi mimenu esav. Maybe the reason why the Shechina left me is because one of my 12 shvatim, one of my children over here, maybe has the wrong machshavas, maybe there's something wrong with him. Just like by Avram Avinu, that Yishmal came out of him and Yitzchak Avinu had esav, so maybe the Rabbanu Shalom has a taina on me also. Amru lo banav, so the children say, what do you mean? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We all believe very firmly in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That can't be the reason why the Shechina left you. Amru, Kishem She'ein B'Libcha Ela Echad. So the children said, the same way that you only believe in one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach Ein B'Libeinu Ela Echad. B'Ois HaShah, when Yaakov Avinu heard the children recite Shema Yisrael, Pasach Yaakov Avinu V'Yamar, Yaakov responded and he said, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vod. So this is the first marker that we have for this connection between Shema and Baruch Shem. Says the Gemara, Amri Rabbanan Heichad Navet. So now the Chacham are trying to figure out. Obviously there's some sort of connection between Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, that when a person says Shema Yisrael, he's supposed to respond immediately with saying the Baruch Shem. So what should we do? Namrinu, maybe we should institute that in Kriya Shema, a person should say Baruch Shem after he says Shema. Loi Amru Moshe Rabbeinu. Baruch Shem is not a pasuk in the Torah. So maybe it's not really proper to stick this in the middle of the Kriya Shema as we know it. So the Gemara says, Lo namruhu. Maybe you should say, well, if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't recite in the Torah, so don't say it at all. Just leave it out. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? But Amar Yaakov. So either way, you're stuck. If you don't say it, so it's an affront to Yaakov. If you do say it, then it's a chutzpah to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. So the Gemara says, Hiskinus lechacham came up with a compromise. Shiyu amrim osa v'chashay. Fine. So we're going to institute that in Kriya Shema, you're going to recite Baruch Shem after Shema Yisrael. But a person should say it with a whisper. A person should say it quietly. This way we're not being mevaza Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're not really ignoring Yaakov Avinu either. We're making some sort of compromise between Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. So very nice. So this is what we find in the Gemara Pesachim. So the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Hilchas Yom Kippur, Simen Tav Reish Yud Tes tells us that as we know on Yom Kippur, the minhag is that we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vod B'Kol Rav. We don't follow this compromise of the Gemara. We only say it B'chashoy, we only say it in a whisper the rest of the year, but on Yom Kippur we in fact say it out loud. Why is this the case? And the Magen Avraham quotes from the tour, says as follows, that the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Va'aschanon tells us the following, Kasher Ala Moshe L'Rakia, look at number Beis, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim 40 days, 40 nights, Shama es Malachi Asharis, Shahayim Mekalsana HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hears the Malachi Asharis. He overhears a conversation going on in Shamayim that this is the proper way for the Malachim to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vod. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, what a great idea. I happen to eavesdrop. I happen to listen when the Malachim are offering Shira. So why don't we take it down to the earth? V'horidu Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu brings it down for Klal Yisrael to also recite as a Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'mad Deradama says the Gemara, what is this similar to? L'adam Shaganav Chayfetz Nami Tov Paltron Shemalek. Someone sneaks into the palace and he goes and he steals the royal crown or the royal jewel. Something which is very unique to the palace and which everybody will know belongs to the king. So the Gemara says, V'nasna l'ishto. So he comes home and he gives the diamond necklace of the queen to his wife. So what? The next chasana you go to, your wife's going to go wear the queen's necklace? Everybody's going to know that that's not hers. Everybody's going to know. There's only one of them. So what do you do? Amr lo, so he says there, Al tiskashi bo ela bitzina besoch beischa. I mean, be a chacham about it. I stole this from the king. Don't go out to the next chasana and wear the necklace. Everybody's going to know that I stole it. So just wear it in the house, just when it's me and you, and nobody else will know. V'lachein. So therefore, the Magen Avraham says that the rest of the year, we have the minhag to say Baruch Shem Kavam Nachuso quietly, because Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, stole this from Shemayim. He doesn't want them to know about it, so we say it quietly. But on Yom Kippur, we say it out loud. Why? Because we're Damel Malachim. So, just number one, an interesting, a beautiful point to bring out here is from an insight that they say in the name of Reb Chaim Yehuda Leib Auerbach. I don't believe that he was a relative of Reb Shlomo Zalman, maybe a distant, but he wasn't a father or grandfather. He was also a Rav in Yerushalayim at the times of Rav Kook. And he said the following insight. It's gorgeous. He says, I don't understand. The Shulchan Aruch tells us over here in Siman Tav Reish Yud Tes that on Yom Kippur, we all are considered like Malachim, and therefore we have the right to recite Kriya Shema with Baruch Shem out loud. He says, just explain this for a minute. Think about it. The whole Erev Yom Kippur, what are we doing? We're sitting and eating, we're fressing away, we're doing... I mean, we're supposed to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, but everyone's involved in Gashmias and everything. 3 minutes into Yom Kippur, Malachim, here we are. We've been eating all day long and Malachim don't eat. Doesn't matter. Yom Kippur comes in, all of a sudden, you're all Malachim. What happens at the end of Yom Kippur? We just went 24, 25, 26 hours and nobody's been eating. Everyone's been davening all day and everyone's fasting. Now you're mamish like a Malach. So what do we do at Ma'ariv HaMatzah Yom Kippur? Say it quietly. He says it's backwards. It's counterintuitive. We should say, at the beginning of Yom Kippur, you're just getting into it. And the beginning of Yom Kippur, you're just coming off a whole day of fressing and eating and doing things that human beings do, not Malachim. Then we should say, Baruch Shem, quietly. At the end of Yom Kippur, when I'm coming off this whole elevated, exalted experience, then I should say, Baruch Shem, out loud. Then I'm like a Malach. I've elevated myself the last 24 hours. Unbelievable Ha'ara. So Zakar Barabach as follows. It's Reb Chaim Yehuda Leib Auerbach. He said, the pshat is that you see from here that the Torah doesn't care so much where a person's holding physically. It's not about the actions that he happens to be doing right now. It's more about the emotions and the feelings. Zakar Barabach, when a person comes into Yom Kippur, once we begin Kol Nidre, every single person in the room is feeling thoughts of tshuva. All he's thinking about is, he's not thinking about eating. All the person's thinking about at that moment, even though the whole day I've been eating, even though it's only 3 minutes into Yom Kippur and we're just about to start Ma'ariv, it doesn't make a difference. Everybody has their thoughts on tshuva. Everyone has their thoughts on being like a Malach. At the end of Yom Kippur, he says, what are we all thinking about? Everybody's rushing ahead. Everybody wants to eat. Yes, you've prepared yourself the whole day, and yeah, you're right, you haven't eaten, and you've fasted, and you've done all the chamishinuyim, and you elevated yourself, and you davened all day long, but lemaisa, what's on everyone's minds? Going home. So he says, you see, right here, you see a beautiful raya that the Torah cares more about what's in a person's heart. That really defines who he is, more than the actions that he's doing, more than the activities that he happens to be finding himself doing right now. It's more about what's going on inside of him. The start of Yom Kippur, everybody wants to be like a Malach. The end of Yom Kippur, we're ready to be like Bnei Adam again. That's what he explains, why at the beginning of Yom Kippur we say Baruch Shem B'kol Ram, as if we're Malachim, a beautiful Vart. And at the end of Yom Kippur, we say it quietly. Okay, so let's move back to the Halacha, Zok the Magen Avram.
If you're telling Malachim is the beast, more we're allowed to say that last. Why are you allowed to say that last on Yom Kippur Kaddam and not do Malach?
I have no idea. I didn't even know we say it out loud on Yom Kippur Kaddam.
Yeah, three times.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I don't know.
Literally at the end of the
Yom
Kippur, the exact same ending.
Yeah.
One,
I don't
know.
But
you're not doing the whole autumn, so what? I don't know. That's right. The person who actually fastened in Kippur Kaddam, that's a good terrence. The person who actually fastened in Kippur Kaddam is Darma Lamalach. Okay, so the Magen Avraham asks over here, I don't understand. Let's look back. Let's look back. What are the two reasons that we find here for not saying Baruch Shem out loud? Reason number one that the Gemara tells us is why. Why do we not say Baruch Shem out loud, the Gemara says? It's not in the Torah. Yaakov Avinu is the one who said this pasuk, the Medrash tells us. It wasn't said by Moshe Rabbeinu. Reason number two that the Torah quotes from the Medrash is what? Moshe Rabbeinu stole it from the Malachim. We don't want them to get angry. Frek the Magen Avraham, I don't understand. All the Acharonim has this. So you're right. On Yom Kippur, we might feel like Malachim, and we might act like Malachim. Well, that's only according to one teretz why we're allowed to say it out loud. But what's the second reason why we don't recite Baruch Shem out loud is because it's not found in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. So how do you get around that? The only reason why the Torah justifies us saying it over here out loud on Yom Kippur is because we are like Malachim, and the whole Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu stole from Malachim, so we don't want them to get angry at us that we stole this thing from them, so we say it quietly. Well, I don't understand. There's a second reason. The reason that's officially quoted in the Gemara, how do we get around that? Zok the Magen Avraham, that really, the Medrash and the Gemara are not contradictory statements. The Medrash and the Gemara really mean to say the same point. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course he said, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Elan Avod. Moshe Rabbeinu was the same as Yaakov Avinu. He knew that this is the way a person is supposed to do it. He heard it in Shemayim. He heard the Malachim say it. But, says the Magen Avraham, he was afraid to write it in the Torah. He was afraid to write it out because this is the Lashon of the Malachim. Therefore, he says, on Yom Kippur, when we have a din like Malachim, we satisfy both Moshe Rabbeinu and Yaakov Avinu. Both stories are really the same. The reason why it's not mentioned Beferish as a pasuk in the Torah is because Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to write it down. But of course, it was a part of Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, that's why we have a heter on Yom Kippur to actually recite the Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Elan Avod out loud, both according to the Gemara and according to the Medrash, because we have a din like Malachim. So now let's go a little further. The Gemara says,
It's not anything higher or less or more.
Because the Malachim say.
The Malachim say. That's what the Gemara tells us.
It would also Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh.
Right. I don't know. You have to look into it. So, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tuf Reish Yud Tes. Look at number Gimel. Says the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tuf Reish Yud Tesif. Hey, some people have the minig. Yesh Omrim, Yesha Omdim Al Ragleim, Kol Hayom, V'chol Halayim. Some people have the minig, and of course the Magen Avraham already points out that if a person's going to be weak and he's going to have to break his fast, or he's going to be weak and he won't be able to daven, he can't stand Shemoneh Esrei, of course, one should not follow this practice, one should not stand all day. But for a person who's very healthy and he's vibrant, so a person should, Yesha Omdim Al Ragleim Kol Hayom V'chol Halayla, the entire Yom Kippur, there are communities that have the minig to actually stand from beginning to end. Zakti Achrenim, why? Where does this minig come from to stand? So they say it's based on the Pesukim in Yeshaya. The Pasuk says, Srafim Omdim Mima'alo. The Gemara tells us that we learn from here that when we're talking about Malachim, Malachim are the type of individuals that are always standing, the type of personalities that are always standing up in that type of position. So therefore, on Yom Kippur, when we try to act like Malachim, so we stand as well because we are on the Madrega Malachim. So says the Mishneh Berurah there in Taf Reish Yud Tes, quoting the Acharonim, Mishneh Berurah points out, well, the Acharonim tell us, the Magen Avraham is famous for this comment, and the Mishneh Berurah quotes it, Lahalacha, that women, Malachim never show up in the form of a woman. Malachim always come as men. Whatever that means. Impossible for Malach to be a woman. See, we're lucky the women didn't show up tonight. So, the Magen Avraham, and the Mishneh Berurah quotes this as well, says that being the case, women certainly don't have to follow this minig of standing the whole Yom Kippur, because women, the whole conversation doesn't get started. Women can't be Malachim in the first place. Women are never similar to Malachim at all, so therefore there's no reason for them to be standing all day long. The Ktzei HaMateh writes on his Pirish on the Mateh Ephraim, he writes that based on this Mishneh Berurah, based on this Magen Avraham, that women never have the possibility of being like a Malach, so he writes, then they also don't have a heter to say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Elan Avod out loud. Why? Because the whole reason why we say it is because we are Dama LeMalachim. But he says for women that are really not able to be like Malachim, so we don't have this heter, especially on Yom Kippur, for women to say Baruch Shem out loud. A very interesting hara. Halacha l'maisa would seem, that's what the Elef Lamata tells us over here, that a person, only a man who's really considered like a malach, who's really dharma l'malach on Yom Kippur, has the right to say Baruch Shem out loud, and has the minhag to stand up the whole Yom Kippur. However, a woman who does not have that possibility should not. Says the Gemara in Brachas Dav Yudam and Beis, let's see where this takes us. The Gemara says, Hamispalo, someone who's davening Shmona Esrei, Tzarech Sheyechavin Es Ragla. The Pasuk says, V'ragleim Regel Yishara, and from here we learn that a person has to keep his feet together. In Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Tefillah, Simen Tzadi Hei, this is quoted Lehalacha, that a person should keep his feet together. Why? Because he has to be Doma L'malach. And by the Malachim it says, Ragleim Regel Yishara. Their feet are together. The Beis Yosef quotes the Trumas HaDeshen, that this is why when we say Kedusha also, we have to have our feet together. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because we say Kishem Shemakdishim Osa B'Shmei Maram. Also, we're saying the praises of the Malachim. Kadosh, Kadosh, and Baruch, Yimloch is not, but Kadosh, Kadosh, and Baruch are. So therefore, we have to stand with our feet together because at that time that we're reciting the Kedusha, we have the status of Malachim. Zakta Mishneh Berurah. This doesn't only apply to a person who's standing and davening in shul or in a Beis Medrash. This also applies a person who's davening in a car or in a train. He should put his feet together. You're not standing up, doesn't make a difference, but you should be as much of a dugma of a Malach as possible. So if a person who has to daven on the train, even when he's sitting down, says the Mishneh Berurah that he should put his feet together because Raglehem Ragle Yishara, the Malachim Davin, or whatever, when they sing Shira, their feet are together. There's an interesting Rabbeinu Yonah who quotes a Yerushalmi. Rabbeinu Yonah writes this in Brachas on the Sugya of holding your feet together. So Rabbeinu Yonah says the Yerushalmi is a Machlaikas. What does it mean to put your feet together? Does it mean you should put your feet together to be like the Malachim? Or does it mean you should put your feet together to be like the Kohanim? What does that mean, and what's the difference? So he says, Malachim, the Pasuk says, Raglehem Ragle Yishar, which means they look like they have one foot, because their feet are actually one right next to the other. But Kohanim, the Pasuk says, Al Yafsiu Psia Gasa, right? Losugala Arbascha Alav, Kohanim just have to take one small step. So the Gemara says, Rashi quotes us on Chumash. What does it mean? Al Yafsiu Psia Gasa. So Rashi says they have to put one foot right in front of the other. They have to take tiny, small baby steps. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, there's a suffix in the Yerushalmi, what does it mean when you have to hold your feet together? Does it mean they have to be mamish one right next to the other, or does it mean they just have to be one in front of the other? Is it based on the Kohanim, or is it based on the Malachim? So that's an interesting suffix. Obviously, the Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that the reason to hold our feet together is because we are supposed to be like Malachim. And that being the case, we have to make sure that they're actually one next to the other and not one in front of the other, because we're not being like Kohanim, we're being like Malachim. What is the reason for holding our feet together in the middle of Shemana Esrei? So yeah, we want to be like Malachim, but what's that all about? So the Mabit writes in his Sefer Beis Elokim, he writes a lot about Hilchos Tefillah. So the Mabit tells us, because a person has to muster up all his courage, a person has to take all his strengths and show the Ribbono Shel, my left side, my right side, my whole body is all coming together to you in one piece. I'm here with everything I have, with all my energies, with all my efforts, and I'm offering everything I have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's what he says. Yes, we want to be like Malachim, but he says, just for a simplistic level, we want that, we should show HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself that we are trying to be like Malachim, and we're giving all of our energies to him, everything we have. So there's an interesting sefer on Shulchan Aruch that's written by Rev. The Arech Neman. He was a Yid in Yerushalayim who had smicha from Rabbi Shai Lukutna. He was a best friend of Rav Kook, right in the front of the sefer. So he writes a Hara. Well, if you sum up all of this, he says, and you take the Magen Avraham and Hilchos Yom Kippur, what did Magen Avraham tell us, quoting the Mishnah Berurah, that women don't have to stand all day in Yom Kippur. Why? Because women can't be malachim. Elif Lamata quotes his Lalach and he says, therefore women don't have a heter to say Baruch Shem out loud. Well, says this Sefer Arech Neman, maybe you should take it a step weiter and say also that women shouldn't put their feet together the whole year when women are davening Shemana Esrei. Appella. Maybe women shouldn't put their feet together because the whole reason why we put our feet together is to be like a malach. No, it's very inconvenient sometimes. You look a little weird on the train when you're sitting with your feet together like that, right? It's a little funny. So women daven very often on the train or they're going somewhere. So maybe we'll say they don't have to stand with their feet together. So he says that lahalacha. I saw also in the Torah's Chaim Sofer. He's one of the grandchildren of the Chassam Sofer. So he writes the same chiddush that women, based on this Magen Avraham, women don't have to put their feet together the whole year when they daven Shemana Esrei. It's a peladik yichidish. So what's the reason why we don't accept this? How can we say when it comes to Yom Kippur, we're going to say women can't be malachim, but over here, all year long, we know the minhag olam is that women daven with their feet together. So what's the difference? How come when it comes to Yom Kippur, we assume they shouldn't act like malachim, but during the year, we assume that they should? So I just think the Elif Lamata says there's no heter. What do we say? All year long, we say a person should not... I'm not a woman. I don't know. What do people do? Women say it out loud?
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. I never spent time in the women's section. I don't know. Maybe this year. So, right. We'll have to sneak in. Yeah, so I'm just making the horror. What? So they said there's no such thing as a possibility of a malach showing up as a form of a woman. That's what they say. Okay, what that means, you got to ask Rabbi Feiner when he comes back. I certainly don't know. What? So 1 second. So now let's get to our point over here. How come the minhag olam is that women daven Shemona Esrei all year long with their feet together? We know that's the pasha minhag olam. No one should walk out of here thinking that women should no longer hold their feet together. Obviously, it's the minhag. So what's the pshat? So the Bir Agra writes as follows. Maybe this is an idea. The Bir Agra writes in Hilchos Tefillah that when we stand with our feet together during Shemona Esrei, it's not that we are actually malachim every day when we come to daven in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not what it means. He says just we take the format of the malachim's tefillos and we say, why not try to copy them as much as we can? We see that it works for them. They hold their feet together. The Ribbono Shel Olam appreciates it. So therefore, the Bir Agra says it's not that we are like malachim. It's just that we're trying to imitate them and take the best practices and use them for ourselves. But maybe the possibility is over here that on Yom Kippur, it's not just that we're acting like Malachim. On Yom Kippur, we transform ourselves to actually turn into a Chetzo, like a Malach ourselves. We ourselves are transformed on Yom Kippur. We're doing things that act that make us godly, that make us like Malachim. So therefore, maybe it's a little bit different. On Yom Kippur, when we talk about saying Baruch Shem out loud, standing with your feet together the whole day, that's because you actually are a Malach on Yom Kippur. You elevate yourself to that level that you became something which is past human beings. During the year, when we stand with our feet together, it's not because we're elevated to the point that we are malachim. During the year, it's just the fact that we try to mimic the best practices of the malach, like the Bir Agra tells us in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Tefillah. So maybe that's why there's a distinction between why one would keep his feet together during the year on Shemona Esrei, and even a woman would do so. Masha'enken, when it comes to these minhagim on Yom Kippur, a woman might not have to do them. The Rama, let's go a little further. The Rama writes in Aruch Chaim, this issue pops up again.
But that itself sounds like an answer. Why would you be more relaxed for Yom Kippur? It doesn't make sense. Why would you tell a woman a whole year to have their legs together, you know, to keep their feet together, and then Yom Kippur can be more relaxed, just, you know, cross your legs, whatever you want.
No. Certainly they should do the same as during the year, but the question is, what about Baruch Shem?
Alright, so you say, okay.
Yeah, certainly they would do the same for Shemona Esrei as they would do during the year, that's for sure. So now let's see where this creeps up in another place, in Hilchos Yom Kippur.
This doesn't apply to the Baruch Shem that we say at the end of Nila, is it? I mean,
that's what you were asking about, Yom Kippur Katan. Yeah, that's, also, the only reason we have a right to say it on Yom Kippur out loud is because we're like Malachim.
But that's different.
That's right.
Nila.
Yeah.
You don't say it out loud.
Right. Yeah, so, I don't know, we have to...
Not saying it out Shema, you're saying it...
You're not saying
whatever.
Out what? What is it?
It's part of the... I don't know, the same reason you say Hashem who Elohim, Hashem who Elohim.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
And just follow Shema.
Okay, so we'll have to look into that point a little more. But let's see another place where this creeps up a little more in Hilchos Yom Kippur. Zakta Ramah and Arachayim Simen Tuf Reish Yud, look at number Hey. The Ramah and Simen Tuf Reish Yud, Hilchos Yom Kippur. Siv Dalid writes... Yesha kasvu shenagu lilbosh begadim levanim nikiim biyom kippur. Some communities have the minhag that everyone should wear nice white clothing on Yom Kippur. Dugmas malachi asharis. To make ourselves like the malachim are also, right? The psukim tell us that the description of a malach is that he's always wearing white. V'chei nagim lilbosh kittel shehu lavan v'naki. Zakta Rama, that's the reason why the men wear the kittel, because we're supposed to be white, just like malachim. No, why don't women wear a kittel? Oh, so do they wear white or not? Gamhu Begin Mesim. Another reason why we wear white on Yom Kippur is because Al Yidei Zeh Lev HaAdam Nichna V'Nishbar. Because if a person reminds himself of the Yom HaMisa, he's going to be a little more humble, he's going to be a little more simple on Yom Kippur, he's going to feel a little more ernst on Yom Kippur when he's davening. Zapta Taz over there. What's the nafkamina between the two reasons that are quoted here in the Ramah? Reason number one for white clothing is because Doma Lamalach. Reason number two that we find is because... Lamalach, yeah. Doma Lamalach. Reason number two that we say that a person should wear white on Yom Kippur is Doma Lamesim. Zakta Taz, a nafkamina would be if Rachmana Litzlan, a person is in Avelus on Yom Kippur. So he's in the middle of Yubes Chodesh. He just lost a parent. He's thinking about Misa. It's on his head. He just lost his parent within the year. He just lost a sibling. Just lost a wife or whatever it is, a spouse. So if that's the case... So if the whole reason to wear the kittel or the white clothing on Yom Kippur is only because a person should remind himself of a misa, a person should remind himself of achna, of humility, so then if he just happened to have lost a family relative, so he knows already, he's thinking about misa, so he doesn't have to wear the kittel. However, says the Taz, if the whole reason is just because it's doma l'malach, that we want a person to feel as if he's like a malach on Yom Kippur, so then... We would say even a person who's in the middle of Avelus on a relative should also go ahead and wear a kittel. L'chara, a second afkamina would be, if it's for the reason of Doma L'malach, so then a woman has no reason to wear white clothing. Because as the Magen Avraham told us in Siman Tuf Reish Yud Tes, there is no possibility of a woman ever really being like a malach. However, if the reason is because we're supposed to remind ourselves of Yom HaMisa, a person's supposed to think about it and make himself a little more ernst on Yom Kippur because he's thinking about Misa, well, if that's the case, l'chara, that would apply to women the same as it applies to men. A woman has to daven with an ernst kite also just like a man. So therefore, if that is what the 2 days are in Shulchan Aruch, l'chara, there's room for a woman to be machmir on this as well. Me'inyin le'inyin ba'oso inyin, says the Mishnah Berurah number Vav. Mishnah Berurah tells us in Siman Tuf Reish Yud Sif Tez Zayin that the Mati Ephraim quotes, Dinogim shegam hanashim lovshim bigadim levanim l'chabad hayom. He quotes that the halacha of Matei Ephraim says women should wear the white clothing, seemingly because there's this second reason that's offered in Shulchan Aruch, that we should remember the Yom HaMisa. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Aval lo yikashtu atzvam b'tachshitin shemekashtim ahem b'shabbos v'yantif. Even though Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbos, and Yom Kippur is the day we're supposed to put on fancy clothing, but says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Matei Ephraim, the women should not wear jewelry on Yom Kippur. Why? Mipnei emas yom hadin, because they're supposed to have some sort of fear, some sort of trepidation from the yom hadin, and therefore it's not really proper to come into the yom hadin wearing loaded down with jewelry. Frak the Minchas Elazar in his tshuvas, I don't understand. Tosis writes in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph, where the minhag start from to read Parshas Arayos by Mincha on Yom Kippur? Where'd that come from? So Tosis quotes that the reason why is because since all the women come, the covered yantif, they come all dressed up in their jewelry, so therefore the men are going to be enticed by the women, so we want to remind them by Mincha, before you go out for the break, don't forget that there's a Parshas Arayos. Don't look at the women. Make sure to stay away from them. Well, Frak the Minchas Elazar, what's going on here? I don't understand. Mate Ephraim says, women shouldn't wear jewelry because Emas Yom Adin. What do you mean? Tosfos says the whole reason why we land the Parsha of Arayos is because the women are all dressed up, the Kavod Yom Tov. What's going on? What are the women showing up? Anyway, it's a tshuva of the Minchas Elazar, yeah.
So there shouldn't be a double standard. Shouldn't it also be that the men shouldn't have in their Torahs silver and other things?
So let's get to silver and gold right now. Thank you. That brings us right into our next point. But before we get there, the Kloizemerger Rebbe also has a beautiful tshuva, very geschmack. I'm not sure it's halacha l'maisa, but it's very geschmack. He talks about the... So let's get into your silver and gold, and then we'll tell over this tshuva from the Kloizemerger.
He has a tshuva, doesn't he?
About?
No, he asked a question about Tosfos. So he
figures out what it means. He gives a deichik to the teretz. I think the kasha is better than the teretz. It's a geshmak ha'ara. But Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in his Hashmatos on Shulchan Aruch Arachayim and Hilchas Yom Kippur, he says, I have another reason why people should not come with jewelry on Yom Kippur. Zakar B'Kiva Eger, quoting some of the Achronim, because we all know the famous Gemara, as we'll see in a minute, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that Ein Kateger Nasis HaNeg. Right? Famous Gemara, that because the gold was used for the Egel HaZav, so therefore we should not use gold when the Kohen Gadol walks in Lefnai V'Lefnim to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, he should not wear big days up. Right? Zakar B'Kiva Eger, therefore the Minig was established that women should not wear gold jewelry on Yom Kippur because Ein Kateger Nasis HaNeg. Then Rabbi Kiva Eger says, well, maybe it's not so pashut, because, don't we all know, the women really didn't give money to the Egel. Mm-hmm. So they weren't involved in the Aveira in the first place. And he says, for that matter, since the women really weren't involved, Leviim and Kohanim also weren't involved, so we're going to have half the shul, the women with the Kohanim and Leviim, all wearing their gold watches and all their fancy things, all the jewelry, and the rest of us who are pashut Yisraelim, who are involved in the Maisa of the Egel, all of us are going to show up in rags and big day mason. Very interesting. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is mesupik about this, and he's not sure what should the din be. So this is also a discussion in the Elef Lamate, on the bottom of the Mate Ephraim. Should we assume that women also should follow the practice of everybody else? Listen, we're one kehillah, he says, everybody's coming to the Ribono Shel Olam as one tzibur. So maybe, as a tzibur as a whole, we should not remind them of the Egel HaZav. So also women should be machmir, not to wear jewelry. So in fact, this is quoted, Achredim quote this, that really, we should not wear jewelry, basically, men shouldn't wear, women shouldn't wear both. The Divri Yitziv writes in his tshuva, that's the Kloizemerger Rebbe, the last Kloizemerger Rebbe, he writes a beautiful tshuva, that maybe when a man is being mekadosh his wife, he shouldn't use a gold ring to be mekadosher. Why? Because he says, the same way we find the idea of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger on Yom Kippur, that we shouldn't remind the Ribono Shel Olam. So he says, the Yom of the Chasana is Ki Yom HaKippurim. We have Mechilas Avonus. He says, the Chasan shouldn't give the Kala a gold ring. It's going to remind the Ribono Shel Olam, Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger. Okay, so I'm not sure if it's a joke or not. I don't know. It's a strange story. He writes back and forth. Maybe she was white gold, he says. It shouldn't be so obvious that it's gold. Okay, whatever. Cute tshuva. But Lamaisa, it's not so practical. We know the minig is that we all give, probably most people give white gold. That's what we do. And that's the way the minig really should stand. What? Not for the wedding band. Most people give
white gold,
I think. I think most people give white gold.
I think you should reaffirm your...
No, it doesn't mean you're not married. Either way, the Kloizemerger writes in his tshuva, either way, everything works. But he says that the Minig, the Mardechai writes in Kiddushin, he quotes the Mardechai that there's some specific reason why we should use Zav, Bedafka, and not Kesev.
But it also says when the person can go down to the chuppah, it's a Ben Melo Melech.
Right.
So Melo, they go down to the chuppah already, they're Melochim, they're like Melech.
Yeah.
So they're going to have the gold ring.
No, but here we're talking about Malach.
I'm just saying, but they're Melech, they're king.
So we have to treat them like a king. He's saying we have to give them gold. Okay. So he writes, he suggests maybe make a pshara, maybe give a white gold. That's what he says. Okay, whatever it is. It's a nice tshuva, something to think about. But basically when we're talking about Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger, let's just make a couple of beautiful ha'aras with regard to the sugya, and we'll close it up with this sugya of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger. Number one.
So men can't wear silver?
Oh, so they talk about what about an atar? So first of all, the Egel HaZav was Zav.
Zav, not silver.
So most people's ataras, I assume, are silver.
So if the women wear silver jewelry, that's not...
So that's not really... So the Mishnah Brura says you shouldn't really wear jewelry because Emes Yamadin. Emes Yamadin. So that's regular jewelry. Then when it comes to gold, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says this added reason that they shouldn't wear gold because Enkateger Nasa Saneger. But jewelry in and of itself, the Mishnah Brura says, also not so pashut because Emes Yamadin, we should show that we have some sort of hachna on Yom Kippur. So that's a question. That's what you use in shul on Shabbos and Yom Tiv. It's a bizayin to Shabbos and Yom Tiv and to Yom Kippur if you're going to go wear your weekday talis. That's what they say. It's not so pasha to do that. And also, your atar is not made from gold. It's made from silver, I assume. Never know. So let's see. In Parsha Shmini, the psukim tell us... Right. Yeah, but still, what do you mean? The big day zav is for the beautification of the begadim, of the big day kuna. Still, we tell the Kohen Gadol not to wear it. Okay, so let's look. Number Zion, we have a pasuk in Parsha Shmini. Zok the pasuk as follows. Vayomer al Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aaron, Kach lecha egel b'mokar l'chatas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aaron, I want you to take an egel as a chatas. Zok Rashi on the spot. Why is he telling Aaron HaKohen to take an egel a chatas? What's this all about? Rashi says, Lehodia lo, shemechaper lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha'idei egel zeh al-maisa egel. So think about this. What's going on? We have a sugya en kateger nasas ha'negel. So what happens? What does Rashi tell us here? B'davka HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aaron HaKohen, you're the one who made the mistake with the Egel, you're the one who got Klal Yisrael into the whole mess, so now, Kach Lecha Egel Achatos, take the very same Egel and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash as a Karban, bring it to the Mishkan, and that will be Mechaper on you. I don't understand. Frek the Chidah, Frek the Rechaim HaKadosh HaKumish, Frek the Ladav HaKurenim, I don't understand. Don't we know there's a sugya of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNegel. So the Rechaim HaKadosh gives a teretz, and we'll give a more simple teretz in a minute, but first the Rechaim, let's cover to the Rechaim HaKadosh, he says that he thinks the answer is the following. When we're talking about a situation where the Kohen Gadol is going to wear Big Day Zav into the Beis HaMikdash L'fnai V'lefnim, no, so that's not right, Ein Kateger Nasas HaNegel, you shouldn't take something which reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Aver. But over here, what's going on? Over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, take the Egel and burn it! Take the Egel and shecht it! You're getting rid of it! You're destroying it! So he says, no, that's not Ein Kateger Nasas HaNegel, you're getting rid of the Kateger. So that's the Arachaim. Okay, it's a good chat. The Arachaim says that's the way to get out of this problem. But the more simple teretz is, if you look in the original sugya of En Kateger Nasa Saneger, it's very clear why this is not a kasha at all. Let's learn the Gemara for a minute. The Gemara says in Amr Ches, in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chavav Amid Alt. Amr Rav Chizda. Mipnei ma ein Kohen Gadol nichnas bebig day zav lefnai velefnim labed avod. Why does the Kohen Gadol not go into the Kodesh HaKadosh Manim Kippur with the big day zav? Frekta Avnei Nezer and Atshuva, I don't understand. Darshin and time of the Kura, what's going on here? All of a sudden, Rav Chisda has a problem. Torah says, when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, wear the Big Day Lavan. So all of a sudden, the Gemara has a problem. Oh, why did Torah say to wear Big Day Lavan? What do you mean? Because the Torah said so. Who cares what the reason is? Lo Darshin and time of the Kura. So Avnei Nezer Kasha. So Avnei Nezer says, no, it's very mistaver, because he says, without this pasuk, I would have said, what's the whole reason why we had Big Day Zav in the first place? So Rashi on Chumash tells us, V'nishma kol babo el HaKodesh, because we want to hear the bells on the bottom of the Big Day Zav, we want to hear them making noise as the Kohen Gadol is doing his Avodah. Nu, is there a better time in the year when we need that? Is there more of a time in the year when we want that than on Yom Kippur when he's going Lefnai V'Lefnim, he's by himself and we're all scared. We don't know what's going on with the Kohen Gadol. He's behind the parochis, he's behind everything. Wouldn't there be, isn't that the most optimum time for the Kohen Gadol to wear the begadim with the bells on them? So we have a Mefurshah Pasuk that seems to indicate that we should wear Big Day Zav in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yet, over here we have a Pasuk that says, wear the Big Day Lavan. So that says that Avnei Nezer is what Rav Chisda was bothered by. I don't understand. Why did we say over here in the Pasuk, Beferush, that when the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when he goes in, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he should not wear the Big Day Zav? What do you mean? This is the best time of the year to wear. So says the Gemara, She'en Kateger Nasa Saneger. The answer to that is, yes, you have all the good tirutzim in the world, there's a good reason to wear it, we want to hear the Kohen Gadol when he goes in, but, En Kateger Nasa Saneger. Side problem. Says the Gemara V'loi, what do you mean? V'ika par, don't we know that the Shechtz of Karban, which is a cow, and the Egel Azav was from the cow family. Says the Gemara, no, hol v'ishtani yishtani. Since I have the blood of the par, so once it was shechted already, so it changed. Something else. That doesn't remind the Rabbanu Shlom. Okay. Hi, Prakti Marvayika Arn Mekaporos Akruv. Those are made out of Zav. So how do you get around that? So Gemara says, Chote Bal Yaakov Kamrina. Well, the Arn, the Kruv, and the Kaporos, those were Kalim that Hashem asked us to do. But we're talking about a person shouldn't himself use an item that he used to do an Aveir. Okay, Prakti Marvayika Kafa Machta. Fine, so Gemara goes further. Ay, Bahayika, Big Day Zav. Prakti Gemara, the whole year, not on Yom Kippur. We have Big Day Zav. The Kohen Gadol wears the big day zav, so why isn't that an issue? How come all of a sudden on Yom Kippur we say, don't wear the big day zav when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Zakti Gemara, mi bachutz. The answer is that the only time there's a problem of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger is when you're going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when you're Lefnai V'Lefnim. However, when you're standing outside, if you're doing Avodah outside, so then there's no problem at all. Okay, so that's basically the Maskan of the Gemara, so therefore there's no problem. I fracked the Gemara, so Shofar also. Why do we have a problem with the Shofar Shel Zav? Why does the Gemara say you shouldn't make a shofar that has some sort of gold coating on it? So it says, Kibun Lizikarnu Kibifnim Dami. Since that is reminding HaKadosh Baruch Hu of our tefillos, and it's as if we are standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim ourselves. Fine. What's the basic Maskan of the Gemara? What do you see? That when we're talking about Avodah that's done outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's no problem whatsoever of Zav. There's no problem of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger. Well, if that's the case, then that's the Pasha de Teres to this Pasuk in Parsha Shmini. Aaron HaKohen is told to go ahead and be makriv an egel lechatas. Zak Rashi, why? Lechaper al maisa egel. Frekta achrenim the Arachayim HaKadosh lechida, I Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger. What's the answer? This wasn't done lefnai v'lefnim. There's no issue at all. That's the Pasha de Teres. According to the Maskanas HaGemara, there's no problem with an Avodah that's done outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So very good. This is why we're bringing it up. Thank you. So now let's look at another pasuk in Bereishis. And here we're going to have an issue that Reb Simcha Zisel Breide also noticed in the pasuk in Bereishis. What does it say? Adam and Chava do an Aveira. And what's the response? Vayispru Ali Te'ena, Vayasu Lehem Chagurus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes clothing for them. Zakarashi on Chumash, why? Ale Te'ena, Huha H. Shachalim Imenu. There's three mandam in the Gemara. What was the Eitz Hadas made from? Was it a Geffen? Was it a Chita? Or what is it, a Se'ena tree? Three, right? Or an Esrog? Right? Four mandam, you're right. So the Gemara has a few Shitas. What was the Eitz Hadas? So one of the Shitas is, it was a Te'ena tree. So therefore, Zakarashi, B'davar Sheneskalkulu Bo Niskanu. Gufa, the thing that they violated the Avera with, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and was misakin it with by giving them clothing. Ayin Kateger Nasa Sanager. What do you mean? You did that there with Te'ena, so we should bedavka use something else to cover you up.
What's the kash?
The stuff used as a kapar.
That's not a kapar. He's going to get punished. I mean, he has to be masakin. Uh-huh. What is it? So Yom Kippur.
So ask your kasha. Flesh it out. You have to be masakin it, right? So on Yom Kippur also, we have to be masakin egel azov. So bedavka, we should wear big day zov. Be masakin egel azov.
It's
Din.
So?
Aha, so you're saying it's a difference between Yom Adin and every other time in the year.
The Midas Adin is shorter than the world.
Could be. So you don't want to remind the Ribbono Shel Olam of anything.
Yeah.
So it's a little similar. So listen, sir. Simcha Zisel Breide writes a beautiful idea. And he says the following. He says, when we're talking about a Yom Adin, we want Ritzoy Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, let's say Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or by Tkiyas Shofar, things like that, that's where the Gemara says, Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger. Meaning, our gold that we use now is not a distant relative to the gold that they used in the time of the Egel Azov. There's no shaykhus whatsoever. Right? So why do we say Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger? It's that we don't even want the smallest reminder for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Any symbolism of the Aver that we did, we don't want to remind him at all of anything that we've done on a Yom HaDin. Like you're saying, a Yom HaDin, the Din is Shailet. We don't want to remind the Ribbono Shel Olam whatsoever of anything that happened in our previous life. Our gold nowadays has nothing to do with the gold back then. Doesn't matter. We don't want to remind them at all. However, says Reb Simcha Zisel Breide, when we're talking about a person in his personal life, in his personal avodah, when he's dealing with himself, what does the pasuk say? B'chatasi negdi samid. The best way for a person to live is with cheshbon nefesh. He should remind himself all the time that he has faults, that he's not perfect, that he has things to work on, that he's done averus, and he needs to do tshuva. Therefore, Zakum Simcha Zisel, is there a better way in the world to remind yourself of the aver that you did and to make it into clothing? Is there a better way in the world for a person to always have his averus on his mind? That's always going to cause you to do a cheshbon nefesh. Zakum Simcha Zisel, bedavka, because they did the avera with the Ale Te'ena, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want to remind you your whole lives, this is the way to live life. I want to remind you that we're the Ale Te'ena, and they should be clothing. They should cling to you so closely that everywhere you go, you're going to remember that you have flaws and you have things to work on. You're never going to be perfect. Well, based on this, let's get back to what we said. The Gemara writes in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Vav, the only time there's a problem of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger is when we're doing Avodas Pnim, only when we're doing the Avodah inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, if that's true, how do we explain the Halacha Tosis writes, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well, in Hilchos Nesias Kapayim, Kohen Shaharagas HaNefesh, a Kohen who kills somebody, whether it's Beshogig, Bemezid, the Shulchan Aruch says, Eino Noseas Kapa. He is not allowed to Duchen. Why not? Zak Tosis and Yavamas Dav Zayin, because Ein Kategen Asas HaNeg. The Pasuk says, Yedechem Dam Maleir. So what's wrong? So it says, so what's wrong? So the Tosis says, because Ein Kategen Asas HaNeg. What do you mean? But it's not Lefnai V'Lefnim. We're not duchening inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what's the problem in Kategen Asa Neger? We're doing it just in a shul. In Eretz Yisrael, they do it in a shul every day. So what's the problem? Why should we assume that a Kohen who is Haragas HaNefesh is not allowed to duchen? So the Achronim say the following. Yes, en Kategen Asa Neger means when we're just talking about a distant relative, like we said, the goal that we have now reminds us of the goal that we had then. It's not really the same, but on a Yom HaDin, we're going to be careful. But the Achronim say, by the hands of the Kohen who actually murdered someone, that's the Chepsa Shalisir itself. That's not just a reminder, that's not just a symbol of what the gold was like many generations ago. This is the Chepsa Shalavera itself. He's the Ritzeh B'yadu Mamish. These very same hands are going to go ahead and offer a bracha to somebody else. So that's what Achronim said. There's a big difference between the hands or the Chepsa Shalisir that actually was involved in an Isser. Those, even Lachutz, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to be careful and we're going to say, don't have anything to do with them. That's Enkategen Asas and Enker. When we're talking about just the daka stick, when we're talking about a small sensitivity, something that might remind us of something that happened a long time ago in the Midbar by the Egel Azov, then we say, you have to only be careful when it's Lefnai V'Lefnim, but Lachutz, you don't have to worry. Based on this, a similar concept, the Re'eim, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi explains, when it says by Parah Aduma, so it says that Parah Aduma was done by Elazar HaKohen, but not by Aaron HaKohen. Everything in the Parah Aduma is not even done in the Beis HaMikdash at all. Parah Aduma, we burn it outside, we do all the avodah outside. Everything's done outside. Parah Aduma is not really a din like a karbon, right? It has a totally different set of rules. So why did we say over there, Bedavka and Chumash and Parshas Chukas, that Elazar HaKohen was the one to do the Parah Aduma, not Aaron? Ayetz Avodah Schutz, the answer is because Aaron HaKohen, his hands were involved in the Egel Azov. So over there says the Mizrahi, that's why we bedavka have a kpeda, that even though this avodah was done avodah schutz, and it wasn't done inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, still Aaron HaKohen had to stay away from it because his hands were the chefetz shalisser. Masha Enkein, when we talk about something else, that would not be an issue. So what's the story by Rabbi Kiva Eger? Again, back to your question. Kiva Eger quotes from the Acharonim that we have the minig not to wear jewelry on Yom Kippur. Why? Because Enke Tegen Asaneger. What do you mean? But we're in shul. We're not Lefnai V'Lefnim. No one's inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how do you explain this minhag? We didn't do anything wrong. This is just a symbolic act reminding us of what happened a long time ago with the Egel Azov. So what's the problem? What's the problem at all? Why is this an issue? So I saw a suggestion based on the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi writes in one of his drushas a beautiful idea. He says, when we daven, we're all mispalo keneged Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? We all try to face the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Zak the Beis HaLevi. Our tefillas are kilifnim dami. If a person has the proper kavanas when he davens, the Rabbanu Shalom considers it as if you are davening in the Kodesh HaKadosh. The big debate, Salevi proves it, he makes a whole ma'arach out of this, a beautiful drusha, but basically he writes, if anyone wants to look it up, it's in Drush Tezvav, he makes a beautiful binyan out of it, but he says, basically a person is being mispalel, it's as if he's in the Kodesh HaKadosh itself. Well, based on that, Zakar B'Kiveger, a person who shows up to shul with gold on Yom Kippur, that's Lefnai V'Lefnim. A person has to be careful not to remind the Rabbanu Shalom on a Yom HaDin of something which happened, which is going to make it a problem of Ein Kategen Asa Saneger. Just Al Derech HaMusar, something to think about. The Achronim talk about a person's mouth, let's say. So he uses his mouth to be misfalo. If the Beis HaLevi is correct that this is the thing that's actually, when we're being mispalel, it's as if we're actually standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, nu. So the same mouth that we spoke Nivel Peh, and all the Lashon Hara, and everything we did wrong, that's the same mouth, Ein Kategen Asa Neger, the same mouth that we use to do all the Dvar Masurim, to eat Dvar Masurim, to eat without making brachas, and everything else, that's going to be the mouth that's going to offer and present our tefillas. Ein Lecha Ein Kategen Asa Neger, Gadol Mizeh, you see by the Yadav Shel HaKohen, he's not allowed to duchen when he's a Rotzeach, Yadechen Dam Malei, Tosha says, because of Ein Kategen Asa Neger, that's the Chepsa Shel Isser. No, by Chepsa Shalisser, we're even more machmir. Even if it's not Lefnai V'Lefnim, we're more machmir, and we say a person has to be very careful that he does a tshuva shleima for that. If he really wants his tefillas to be mekubal, and the Rabbanu Shalom shouldn't just turn them away because Ein Kategen Asa Neger, he has to be careful to really, at least in Chodesh Elul, to think about what he says and to think about how he acts with his mouth, to make sure that it's something that's really right to be offered in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Just one beautiful part that we said this week, and with this we'll really close. We were supposed to close a half an hour ago, but this will really close. So I just said over this week a beautiful story that happened with the Satmar Rav Rabbi Yehuda Teitelbaum and Rav Moshe Feinstein. So they say over the story that one time they were both together, and the Rav Moshe said to the Satmar Rav, he said, "You're a Rebbe, no, explain to me. When someone comes to you that he's not feeling well, so you give him a bracha, you should have a refuah shleima. Why do you say refuah shleima? Why don't you just say you should have a refuah? What's a shleima all about?" This is what he asked Rabbi Yehuda Teitelbaum. So the Satmar Rav responded to him. He says, "Nu, you're the Gadol Hador. What happens when someone does not bear? What do you give him a bracha? You should do a tshuva shleima. What's a tshuva shleima? Why don't you tell me? You should do tshuva. What's going on? You threw the kasha at me, I'll throw it back at you." So Rav Moshe said, "No, the tshuva is not a kasha, because the Rambam writes that a person has to be so serious about his tshuva, he has to be so intense and so convicted that he really believes in this tshuva process and that it's really going to work. Ad sheyad alav yodea talumas, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is ready to come down and say about you, I know he's so serious about it that he'll never do it again. Not just that I'm moichel him for what he did in the past. The Ribbono Shel Olam actually has to be able to come down and say on each and every one of us, I know you'll never do it again. Because that's how sincere you are." Zakar Moshe, that's what it means, tshuva shleima. We're not just asking that the person should be granted a mechila and a tshuva for what he did in the past. We want it to be a tshuva shleima that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come down and say on each and every one of us, I want that your tshuva should be so complete that it will never happen again. I can be made on you, it's never going to happen again. That, said Rav Moshe, is what we mean when we say a tshuva shleima. Well, if that's the case, said the Satmar Rav, that's what it means, refuah shleima also. Not just for being mispalo that I should be cured from what happened to me in the past. We want that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come down and give us a promise, you're never going to get sick again, and nothing's ever going to happen to you again, you're going to be fine forever. L'chari, that's the pshat also when we say gula shleima. Not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take us out of this problem that we find ourselves in now. Not just we have a tzar with the government, or we have a problem with this neighbor, or we have a problem with whatever we're dealing with paying a mortgage, with whatever's going on in our lives. No, we're saying gula shleima. Take care of us once and for all. We should never have a problem again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to come down and promise us, I promise nothing will ever happen. You're going to be fine now, and you're going to be fine forever. So l'chari, that's just something to think about now, when we're all dealing with the tshuva process. And as we said, whether we're lefnai v'lefnim or not, we know that when we're talking about a cheftza shel iser itself, the sugya of en kateger nasas aneger has a very strong standing in halacha. It's something that we take very seriously. It's something we don't allow a kohen to duchen in shul, because his actual hands did a maisa avera. So when we're talking about being mispalel ourselves on the Yom HaDin, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's something for us to think about, that maybe we should consider how we use our mouths, whether that is going to be the kateger that's going to be ending up being the Sanegar as well. It's something we have to work on and actually put some thought into over the next couple of weeks. I wish everyone a wonderful evening.